Chapter 4. The New Prime Minister. As the evening of 9th of May 1940 ended, Winston was preparing himself for the huge job of leading Britain. Randolph, his son, had called him at the Admiralty earlier that day, and Winston had said, "I think I shall be Prime Minister tomorrow." Every morning, Winston's breakfast was brought to his bedroom. But on the morning of 10th of May, Winston had a shock. He was woken a little after 5:30 a.m., not by someone bringing his breakfast, but by some terrible news. Germany had invaded Holland. Boxes of telegrams were arriving from the Admiralty, the War Office, and the Foreign Office. At 6 a.m., Winston called the French ambassador to discuss sending troops into Belgium, the country south of Holland. But then news came that Hitler had invaded Belgium too. At the start of the war, both Holland and Belgium had said that they did not want to take part in the war. So it was very easy for Germany to invade these countries because their armies were not ready for an attack. After Winston finished his phone call with the French ambassador, he went to a meeting with the ministers for air and war, Sir Samuel Hoare and Oliver Stanley, to discuss what Britain was going to do about the German attack. Later, Hoare remembered that Winston was very strong and full of confident advice. The three men then moved to the upstairs war room at the Admiralty for a meeting with Britain's top military leaders at 7 a.m. More news was beginning to arrive about the terrible situation in Europe. It was reported that the Germans had begun their attack at 3 a.m. The German Air Force, the Luftwaffe, were bombing important places in Holland, Belgium, and now Luxembourg, and thousands of German soldiers had arrived in these countries, which were known as the Low Countries. Winston and the military leaders decided to order the French and British armies to begin marching into Belgium. Meanwhile, British people listening to the 7 o'clock news on the radio had a great shock when it was announced that Germany had invaded Holland. Randolph was with Winston's old regiment, the 4th Queen's Own Hussars. He called his father at 7:30 a.m. to try to find out what was happening. Winston informed him that the Germans had invaded the Low Countries, but that the British and French armies were marching forward to fight them. Then Randolph asked, "What about you becoming Prime Minister?"
"Oh, I don't know about that," replied Winston. "Nothing is important now except beating the enemy."
But this was still the big question. Who would be Prime Minister? Chamberlain had still not resigned. He had said he would be happy to stay as Prime Minister if the Labour members of Parliament agreed to join his government. So everything depended on Labour's decision. However, Clement Attlee and his colleague Arthur Greenwood had gone to an important Labour Party meeting in Bournemouth, so they would not be able to contact Chamberlain until later. Just before 8 a.m, Winston, Hoare and Stanley walked from the Admiralty to the Prime Minister's house at No. 10 Downing Street, where the War Cabinet was meeting. 20 ministers, military leaders and other important people sat around the table to discuss the German attack. Although Chamberlain, not Winston, was Prime Minister, it soon became clear to everyone that Winston was in charge of the meeting. In less than 3 hours, he was running the war. Although Chamberlain had nothing important to say during the meeting, afterwards he told Hoare that he did not think he should resign until the French battle was finished. This was very surprising, because most people were expecting Chamberlain to go immediately. That morning,
The British newspapers had all said Chamberlain was going to resign and Winston was going to become Prime Minister. Chamberlain had been wrong about too many things. For the past 6 years, Winston had warned the government, Parliament, and the British people about the threat from Hitler, but Chamberlain had not listened. When Hitler and Chamberlain met in Munich in September 1938, Hitler had promised that he would not attack other countries in Europe, and Chamberlain had believed him. He thought he had made a peace agreement with Hitler. But Winston knew that Hitler was lying, and he refused to be silent. Many rich and important people did not want to listen to Winston and called him a warmonger. But Winston knew that it was impossible to make a peace agreement with a dictator. However, when Chamberlain refused to resign, he was not only thinking about his own position. He really believed that Winston was not the right man to lead Britain, and many other people agreed with him. They thought that Britain needed a leader who was calm and quiet and thought carefully before making decisions. Winston was neither calm nor quiet, and in the past he had taken a lot of risks and made some bad mistakes. So a lot of people were very nervous about Winston becoming Prime Minister. Also, some important people like Lord Halifax still believed it would be possible to have peace talks with Hitler. The War Cabinet met again that day at 11:30 a.m. By this time, the German tanks were moving quickly across the Low Countries and had almost reached France. The War Cabinet learned that the Germans had also bombed the city of Nancy in France, but there was not much information about this, and some of it was not correct. General Ironside, the head of the British Army, informed the cabinet that the Germans were probably planning to cross through Luxembourg and the Ardennes Forest to the Belgian line at the River Meuse. At the same time, the Germans were probably going to march through Belgium towards the troops of the Allies. But actually, the German army had moved more quickly than the Allies thought and had managed to get much further, because the Belgian troops had not been ready for a German attack. A third meeting was held at the Admiralty at 1 p.m. and a fourth meeting at No. 10 Downing Street at 4:30 p.m. to discuss what to do about the attack on Belgium. At 1 p.m, General Sir Hastings Ismay, a strong ally of Winston, reminded his colleagues of a plan, Plan D, made earlier by the British. Since the start of the war, over 394,000 British soldiers had been in France. These troops were called the British Expeditionary Force, BEF. According to Plan D, if the Germans attacked Belgium, the British government would send the BEF to defend it. At 4:30 p.m, the War Cabinet discussed the possible bombing of Germany. The Germans had already bombed important places in Holland, Belgium, France and Switzerland, as well as 5 places on the coast of Kent in southeast England. Winston listened carefully to the opinions of his colleagues. All the men sitting around the cabinet table were very experienced, and he trusted them greatly. Hoare and another top man in the Air Force, Sir Cyril Newell, wanted to start bombing Germany immediately. But Ironside was against this idea because it would not help the battle on the ground. He said it would be better to wait for 24 hours before starting the attack, and both Winston and Chamberlain supported his opinion. At the end of the meeting, Chamberlain announced that he had received a message from the Labour Party. They said that they were ready to be part of a new government under a new Prime Minister. Chamberlain realised that he could not continue as Prime Minister if the Labour Party were not going to support him. He said he would go and see King George VI that evening and tell him he was going to resign. Shortly afterwards, he left for Buckingham Palace and met with the king. He formally resigned from his position and advised the king that the new prime minister should be Winston. But Winston's name was not the one the king had been hoping to hear. Later, the king wrote in his diary that he thought Parliament had behaved very badly towards Chamberlain. He thought Halifax was the best man to be the new prime minister. And when Chamberlain told him Halifax did not want the job, he was very disappointed. He wrote in his diary, "Then I knew that there was only one person whom I could send for to form a government, and that was Winston. I asked Chamberlain his advice, and he told me Winston was the man to send for." Winston knew not everybody was happy about him becoming Prime Minister, and sometimes he felt he could never escape from his past mistakes. During this time, Clemmy, his wife, had been away, and Winston missed her love, help and advice very much. So he called her, asking her to return to London as soon as possible. Clemmy arrived just before he left for Buckingham Palace and told Winston she believed he was the only man who could be Prime Minister. Shortly before 6 p.m, on 10th of May 1940, on his way to the palace, Winston began to feel very excited about his new position. It was the job he had dreamed of all his life. The meeting with the king went surprisingly well, and Winston felt very happy. Later, Winston wrote that the king had even joked with him and said, "I suppose you don't know why I have sent for you." I replied, "Sir, I really couldn't imagine why." He laughed and said, "I want to ask you to form a government." After Winston was driven back home and stepped out of the car for the first time as Prime Minister of Great Britain, he turned to a policeman beside him and said, "God alone knows how great it is. All I hope is that it is not too late. I am very much afraid it is. We can only do our best." Tears came into his eyes as he turned away and said something quietly to himself. Then he began climbing the stairs to start planning his new war cabinet. After Winston became Prime Minister, the first thing he did was to write a letter to Chamberlain. He thanked Chamberlain for promising to support him and help Britain during this difficult time. He said that he knew that the road ahead would be long and dangerous, and he needed and depended on Chamberlain and was proud to have him as his friend. Then he wrote a similar letter to Halifax. It was very clever of Winston to write these letters to Chamberlain and Halifax because they were a way of keeping them on his side. He hoped that they would support him and not cause him any problems. Winston also appointed himself as Minister of Defence because this would give him the chance to run the war as well as the country. Then he appointed his close ally, Anthony Eden, as Minister for War, a Labour MP as First Lord of the Admiralty, and the leader of the Liberal Party as Minister for Air. Then Winston read all the letters and telegrams that had arrived, wishing him well in his new job. At 9 p.m, he turned on the radio to hear Chamberlain speaking to the British people for the last time. Chamberlain spoke for 5 minutes, and his speech was very good. He told the people about the terrible things that had happened that day, and that Hitler had added to his horrible crimes by attacking Holland, Belgium, and Luxembourg. Then Chamberlain explained that during his 3 years as Prime Minister, he had always tried to solve problems through peace, but now he realised that it was impossible to avoid war. He said the British people must support their new leader and fight Hitler to the end. After listening to Chamberlain's speech, Winston continued working for another 6 hours until 3 a.m. The day had brought enormous changes to his life, but he felt happy and excited, and he slept very well that night.